straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 230, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our good friends at Bud Light. Cedric Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. And Duck, friend of the family, friend of the podcast, Barry Trammell, award-winning columnist of The Oklahoman, joining us. And so much to talk about. The Sooners are number two in the polls, and we'll get to that in a second. But Barry, are we really going to be covering SEC football in a couple of years? Maximum.
It sounds like it. You know, I went to a couple of weeks ago, me and my family went down to Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and went through Oklahoma, Texas, missed Arkansas by about 20 miles, went down through Mississippi, Louisiana, Mississippi, and into Alabama, and missed Florida by about 4 miles. And I thought, here in a little bit, this isn't even going to be that cool. I'm going to be touring the SEC every autumn. I guess we are, for crying out loud. It's exciting in a way, a lot of new faces, a lot of new sights. But in a way, it's also a little bit of a shame because it's leaving behind a whole bunch of, you know, familiar places and familiar friends. So it's a mixed bag, I think.
It's just so many emotions. It's just incredible. And I agree with you. We're leaving a lot of friends behind, and that saddens me. And a lot of good programs, a lot of people we have relationships with. But by the same token, like you say, there's a lot of excitement. I'm excited about seeing stadiums, football stadiums I've never set foot in. I've never been to the Swamp. I've never been between the hedges or Tennessee. I counted them up, guys. I've been to 9 of the, I guess, 16 stadiums when this takes place. I was curious how many you've been to, Barry. Have you been to most all of them?
You know what? I've been to, of course, Missouri, A&M. I've been to Mississippi State, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. And I think that's it. I don't know how many that is. But
you've been to Tennessee. I've not been there.
Tennessee's a pretty cool place.
Yeah. Oh, you played them in non-conference a few years back.
Yeah, and I was actually there in 95. OSU played them when Peyton Manning was there in 95. And then I went back in 15 in the Baker Mayfield first year. But it's a great place. Georgia's a lot of fun. It's a great place. Alabama's great. But I've never been to LSU. I haven't been to Florida.
I've been to LSU. I have not been to Tennessee. Of course, that was back when they were Division I, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Really, Duck? Okay.
Sorry.
Wow.
Truth hurts. Sid, how many have you been to?
You know where I've never been to a football game in Fayetteville. I mean, you
Oh,
got,
really? Oh,
I've
you're
never,
in for
I've
a
never,
treat.
I've never been to a football game in Fayetteville. So
been about 20. You're in for a treat. Have you said?
Okay, so let's see where I've gone. Let's see. I've gone to Fayetteville in 04. I went to Alabama. I did Alabama. I did Missouri. Kyle Field, of course.
Have you been to LSU?
Never been to Baton Rouge. Never. Okay. I think it's just those four. Never been to the Mississippis. Never been to Auburn.
Oh, that Auburn. Was
never been to Florida.
Yeah.
So I think four. I think
Florida and Georgia are the ones I'm looking to, but you guys are in for a treat, Baton Rouge and Fayetteville. I mean, those are different worlds. Those are different worlds, and that's going to be fun. So read the tea leaves for us, Barry. Are we covering SEC for real next year, 2 years? There's no chance in 24, is there?
Well, I think there's a chance because I think that's the Big 12's game plan.
Yep.
Because wherever that, whatever happens to them, whether they fall into other leagues or whether they make a go of it on their own, whatever contract they're going to get is not going to be in the neighborhood of what they have right now.
Exactly.
So they'll do all they can to extend that thing, keep that thing going as long as they can. Now, you know, lame ducks really don't work. Long anybody in the modern era has waited is 2 years, two seasons. Arkansas did it when they left the Southwest Conference. And then one of those ACC or two of them, Louisville, Syracuse, or Pitt. There's so many out of the ACC, I couldn't keep up. But it's happened a couple of times. But nobody really wants that. And, you know, you and Texas will do all they can to speed it up and make it 1 year and maximum of two. But conversely, I think the Big 12, you know, if they don't have a lot of great options right now, and their best bet may just be stick together and collect paychecks as long as they can.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, they made what, $35 million last year in a COVID year. They've been up to $37 or $38 million. But, you know, and said, and I've written about this too, that if you add a BYU, a Boise, a UCF, a Cincinnati, I don't know, you still probably won't get what, maybe $20 million a year, if that much, maybe less than that.
So those guys don't really move the needle in the collective. They don't.
Right.
Yeah. I actually think BYU.
That's a big one.
I think BYU helps them. I don't see a second one that helps them.
I agree.
The way I figure it out, of course, everybody's math is different, but I'm estimating that it's going to cost, like Oklahoma State and West Virginia and whoever we're talking about. We're going to start, if they went on ahead with just the eight of them, it's going to be $15 million less than what.
Wow, man.
So, I definitely agree with that.
So I don't know, you know, maybe Brigham Young or somebody could make that 20, but they're not going to make it 5 million.
No.
So they're better off playing with OU and Texas as long as they can. And hopefully we don't end up in court. That'd be the worst thing. The worst possible solution would be a court case, but I wouldn't put it past either side. I mean, if they try to leave, and or if you know, the Big 12, I think there's some legs to this thing about the ESPN anger from the Big 12.
Right.
I think we could end up in a court case. I hope we don't.
I just think Texas and OU, they manufactured this whole deal. So this is what you want. You should just step up, pay the piper. Yep. This is what you want. Try to get ESPN to ante up. There's no Longhorn Network anymore. And just pay what you owe them and get out, you know. So, and I'm curious too, both of you guys, I mean, you know, we're seeing a super conference, 16 teams, a lot of heavyweight names, a lot of brands. And on some level, does it not make sense? Because, like, even if you go to a 12-team playoff, you're not getting six SEC teams in, I don't think.
Are you sure about that, Kurt?
No, I'm not sure.
You know what? I was pretty sure we were going to be looking at four.
Absolutely.
Out of the 14-team SEC. And you're in Texas in there, and you know, I don't know if you get six.
Yeah.
But they'll be knocking on the door for five.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know what's going to happen with the playoff. I mean, I was all fired up most of the summer, right, about that 12-team playoff, and I had a bunch of other ideas to write about it. You know, all of a sudden we got conference realignment, and everything else gets pushed to the back burner.
That's what realignment does. And Oklahoma State, I mean, I'm sure you probably thought they were joined at the hip with OU, same as we did A&M at Texas. And there's going to be a lot of bad feelings, lingering bad feelings. And what I wonder, once this happens, would you expect the two Oklahoma schools to play each other in football and other sports, or would they just be too much acrimony?
I would expect them to play. I think there's a big difference between the Bedlam and the Texas and Texas A&M stuff. For this reason, when we've seen like Kansas, Missouri stop playing, and we've seen A&M and Texas stop playing,
right?
West Virginia, Pitt was a little bit the same way. We're talking about arch rivals who are sort of on the same economic footing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a money decision. You know, Texas and Texas A&M stopped playing. It was more just feeling, emotion, that kind of thing.
Right.
OSU are on different economic planes. And it really doesn't matter to OU financially if they play OSU, but to OSU if they play OU.
That's a big gate.
I've been telling them, and the television is the television contract. I've been telling people in Stillwater, don't make decisions based on emotion. Carry a spot here. You got to make decisions based on facts and logic
and money.
And whether OSU proceeds with a watered down Big 12 or whether they're trying to get into a potential Pac-16, either way, if you can go to a network and say, listen, we're going to have OU in our stadium every other year. Well, that's a big deal to Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say we'll play it at 11 a.m. and have your big noon kickoff. You know, Bedlam's been the site of game day 3 times in the last 10 years. So it's a popular game. And so that's and I've told OSU, you got to beef up that non-conference schedule. Not for competitive reasons. This is serious money we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, this trying to win a certain way and all that, that's out the window. You're trying to save your financial life. And beefing up that schedule is the best way to do it. And have an OU annually on the schedule, which means a home game with them every other year, is the selling point you can make to the networks.
And Barry, isn't it also a selling point you can make to the Pac-12 if you're trying to stay in that super conference mix?
Oh, no. Yeah, no doubt. Pac-12 needs to get into the central time zone. It seems to me, from a network standpoint, you know, 4 teams from the Big 12 would, I think, appeal to Fox. Fox is the big loser in all this.
Oh, wow.
You know, Fox has part of the Big 10. They got part of the Pac-12. They got part of the Big 12. But, you know, OU and Texas and Ohio State and Michigan, that's their bread and butter, basically. And they lost half of it, basically. And, you know, it's Bob Stoops told me a funny story. I talked to him a little bit after the news broke. And he said he was, you know, he's joined Big Noon Kickoff, their student show. He's Urban Meyer. And he said not long after the news broke, they're doing a conference call with all the crew. And he talks to Rob Stone, the host. And Rob Stone was sort of down and out. He said, hey, Rob, what's wrong? And he said, well, I'm bummed out about this OU Texas thing. And Stoops said, why are you bummed out? Which Stoops is so new to the TV game, he didn't even understand the ramifications. But Rob Stone is literally bummed out that they bought to Texas. And he knows that's a big blow to Fox.
Yeah.
Fox needs to fortify as much as it can. Getting into the central time zone with the Pac-12 would help. Whatever four, whether it's 3 Texas schools and OSU, or whether it's Tech and TCU and OSU and K-State, whatever foursome they come up with, is not going to make up, you know, for OU and Texas. But it could help to have, you know, Southern Cal playing at Oklahoma State. That would be a marketable game, having Oregon playing TCU in Fort Worth. You know, those are things that they can work with to some degree, besides, you know, the limited inventory they have now.
But, you know, maybe they're looking at the so-called alliance with the Big Ten as their entree into the central time zone and further east. And maybe they think that's enough, because we haven't read a whole lot lately that makes them think like they're salivating over, you know, Big 12.
No. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a very tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
That's
50-50. I think it's less than 50-50. Yeah. Pack would come calling for.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I've even said, I don't know what you thought about this, that Oklahoma State might be the most attractive of the remaining 8, because central time zone, Oklahoma sports is big in that state. So you bring eyeballs from that state, and quite frankly, Oklahoma State's good in almost every sport. You know, you look at everything from football, basketball, golf, you know, baseball, women's softball. Now they've got a really strong athletic program. So am I completely out of bounds?
No, you know, in NCAA championships, Oklahoma State's fourth in the nation in the NCAA championship, behind.
Wow.
Behind UCLA, Stanford, and Southern Cal, I think. Wow. Three
a lot of wrestling schools. Probably wrestling and golf.
A lot of wrestling and then some golf and baseball and whatever else it was. Cross country. But you know, it's still something you can say and interested in. But no, I think you're right. It's a tough sell. Culturally, it doesn't fit. None of the schools do.
Right.
You know, yeah, let's especially during COVID. Yeah, let's try to talk the Cal Berkeley president into joining a league with some schools from Texas and Oklahoma. That'll be an easy sell.
When's the road start?
I blew that blood.
Yeah. So, you know, and it's they're not prestigious academic institutions, which matters at Berkeley and Stanford and UCLA and places. So
name schools that aren't winning right now.
Yeah.
We need help too.
It's a tough call right now to get into the Pac-12, but if the networks say do it, they'll do it.
Yeah, they'll dance. Well, let's talk about some real football. Barry, stupid as I am, I put Oklahoma number one on my AP vote.
Wow.
Homer. Tell me how wrong I am, Barry.
Well, they haven't won a playoff game since most of these guys were unborn. literally, I mean, 1 year ago since they won a playoff game.
Wow.
So let's see, there are three national title games, and then they've lost four national semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a seven-game losing streak in playoff games. Are they better? That looks like it. Are they capable? It looks like it. Is the defense some fangs? It looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
They actually do it. I wouldn't want to get too far down the optimistic road.
But you know, here's the dichotomy. I got to drop some knowledge on our listeners. When you're talking about the team that you cover the most, like Barry is probably going to be really optimistic about the Longhorns. You have to deal with them. Kirk Bowles votes OU number one, and he doesn't have to deal with the Horns. What did you vote Texas, Kirk?
I voted them 17 ahead of the 21st spot where they're at.
So you are nicer to the Longhorns. So I'm going to say, you know, and I love the quarterback. And what is the level of hype in Norman when it comes to Spencer Rattler? Because he is all over the place, Barry, on name, image, and likeness. He's got his own website. How does the football player look so far?
Well, I don't claim to know. I think I last saw a practice in 2008.
So they're not allowing you to see anything.
No, they've actually allowed they let video in, and I guess I could go if I wanted to for 20 minutes.
Yeah, we hear you
twice. I don't go because last time I went, we did this at a bowl game, and I went and they literally didn't do anything except stretch and just run around looking like they were.
We hear you. Playing
games with towels. But Lincoln did say that in the scrimmage Sunday night that offense had some explosive plays early, but then the defense sort of exerted itself. And he said he thought it was pretty much a wash.
Mm-hmm.
It's good news for the OU defense, not great news for the OU offense, because you know, somebody with an offense like OU and a veteran quarterback that light people up. But I assume he'll be fine. I mean, Rattler was really good the second half of the year. He was a little bit shaky, culminating in that Texas game where he actually got benched for a couple of series.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he got with it and became a really good player the second half of the season. And I assume he's going to be fine. I think the jury is out on whether he's a superstar or not.
Mm. You
know, we knew that Baker Mayfield was. You know, didn't take long.
Right.
Had good feelings about Kyler Murray, and there was zero doubt about that. And Jalen Hurts was just really, you know, we talk about his transformation at under Lincoln Riley. And there was some truth to that, but he's also the SEC Offensive Player of the Year when he's at Alabama 1 year. So the guy could play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rattler could be all of that and even more, I suppose, but he really hadn't done it yet. What's interesting is this is the first time since 15 that OU's had a quarterback the first time since Baker Mayfield, they got a quarterback who's coming back. Quarterbacks every year since Mayfield.
Right.
There's something good to be said for that, but we'll just have to wait and see. And I guess we'll find out in September. They play West Virginia after Nebraska, and I think West Virginia is going to be pretty solid, especially on defense.
Right, a lot better. Yep.
We'll know pretty quick what he's going to do. We won't necessarily find out against Tulane or Western Carolina, and maybe not even against Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't know. I just dislike him because it seemed like good to really good at so many different places on their team. I mean, running back, I mean, you got Kennedy Brooks already, and then here comes Eric Gray, and probably going to be the starter, the transfer from Tennessee. And, you know, you got Marvin Mims and all those receivers, and you got a good tight end and a good line, and defensive front looks pretty good. I mean, is there one key for this being a championship team? Is there one player or one phase that needs to come through, Barry?
Well, it's odd to say, but the weak link or the maybe unproven part of this team,
mm-hmm.
a wide receiver, which is a position where forever they just had guys fall out of trees on top of their head to play. And Lincoln was not happy with them last year. He thought they were underachieved, and he's not really on them right now. But you'd think places like OU would have all the receivers it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, they got Marvin Mims back. He's an outstanding freshman last year. And then they got another freshman who looks great this year, Mario Williams. But but that's really sort of the question mark right now. Everybody's excited about their linebackers. Put me down as a little bit skeptical because I just don't really not buying into it. I can see the depth on the defensive line is really good. I can see they're way better in the secondary. Mm-hmm. I've seen where OU's actually been playing with extraordinary linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
Until I do, I'm not going to get excited about it.
Yeah, there's not a Hollywood Brown on this team. I know Drake Stoops. You know, he's a name, but he's not keeping defensive coordinators up late nights.
Theo Weiss is.
Doesn't it seem like Lincoln Riley always figures it out offensively and his quarterbacks always come around? So, yeah, like you said, with Jalen Hurts, people made a little bit too much of what he did here. He was a stud at Alabama. He just lost his job. And so it's not like he didn't know how to play football. So I really think they're going to figure it out offensively. Defensively is – the defense is always what's been their bugaboo in these playoff losses. Somewhere along the line, they ran into a bigger, burlier team, and they got run over. So that's the big issue for me.
And they're playing really good teams. LSU, one of the greatest teams ever, and Georgia offense was pretty damn good. So, I consider the competition, too.
No, that's true. But, when you look at the Big 12 teams, Kansas State's beat OU twice in a row and have done it with offense.
Right.
Yes.
Who else has Kansas State scared with its offense? I mean, OSU beat them the last year, the year before. It's one of the most boring games I've ever seen. OSU beat them like 20-18, and it's like K-State kicked 6 field goals or something.
Ugh.
It was like it's 1952 or something. Yeah, that team went up and down the field and beat Oklahoma. So
38-35.
OU's better on defense, no doubt about it. But I still want to see it happen against a great team. Now, and then, you know what? They took it to Florida. Florida's missing a lot of guys.
Right.
But so was OU. I mean, Trey Brown you know, been an excellent cornerback. He's an opt-out of that bowl. So it wasn't just Florida missing players. So they're better. They're playing better. But I still want to see it happen.
So he said we love Barry. He's a brother, and he's looking at the glass half full. We're here in Austin. We're looking for the glass. Okay. Oklahoma's won, 6 in a row, 7 in a row? I lose count. They win every year. So we're trying to get to that Oklahoma level. So anyway, you know, one last thing on Oklahoma and the national championship races, one of the reasons I give OU a lot of stock is that the teams that are also there lost so heavily. You know, Alabama, 6 first-round draft choices, 10 overall, and you got to break in a new receiver, plays Heisman Trophy winner, new quarterback, Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, ETN gone, Georgia had some losses, Florida, Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts. So, you know, a lot of the usual suspects lost people, Ohio State too. So I give OU a little leg up, you know, partly for that, just returning people.
They certainly look like this is their best chance to crack through. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
We've 2017, that Baker Mayfield senior year, they were as good as Alabama and Georgia. They went double overtime with Georgia yep. overtime with Alabama in the title game.
Right.
Teams were virtual equals. But since then, 18, 19, certainly last year, they weren't on the level of the elite teams. We saw them play the elite teams. It wasn't competitive. This year looks like they're back to where they could be on the same level with those teams. If you play well in the showdown, you can advance.
And they're going to want to put 80 on Nebraska, probably, if not 100.
That could get ugly.
Is that in Norman or Lincoln?
It's in Norman. Norman. You know, Nebraska tried to get out of the game in March.
I bet. Trevor tried to get out of the other 11 as well.
So that could go sideways real quick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Anybody else in the conference that, I don't know, Iowa State getting a lot of pub, a lot of cred? You know, you got your Purdy and Breece Hall and Charlie Kohler and people, Mike Rose. Do you think they're legitimate?
I think they are legitimate. Now, I don't know when they lose this batch of stars.
Yeah.
Oh, I know Matt Campbell's got the assembly line going. Right. I just know it if he has, but he's got enough really good players back that I think they are legit. Yeah. Last year, heck, they beat them in Ames, and they took them to the wire in Arlington. So they're about as good as OU was last year. So I like them a lot. I think OSU could be really good on defense, will be really good on defense. I don't know about the quarterback play. Spencer Sanders has just been so-so through 2 years. Mm-hmm. Good quarterback play, you're not really going anywhere in the Big 12.
That's true.
That's key for OSU. I think TCU and West Virginia are solid, but probably not contender.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's most likely OU and Iowa State with Spencer Sanders and then whatever happens in Austin as sort of the wild cards.
Yeah, I like Tech. I think Tech's kind of my dark horse to improve, not to win at all, but they've got so many they got like 15 transfers. And
well, how do you know?
Well, the defense can't be much worse, Ed. And they got Tyler Shuck, the Oregon transfer quarterback. So, and, you know, Matt Wells on the hot seat. He better deliver, or who knows, Art Briles may be coaching in Lubbock.
Oh, my.
Wow. You know, speaking of that, guys, this goes back to the conference realignment. I got to thinking about this. If you're a Big 12 football coach, you ought to have pretty good job security, because those 8 schools, are they in position to pay off contracts here?
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, if you're Texas Tech,
yeah,
get on some more debt. You're not going to say, well, we're going to pay this guy $4 million not to coach. If you got $4 million extra dollars laying around, let me tell you, there's all kinds of places they're going to be able to spend it. Keeping the track program alive.
You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think people like Matt Wells, who I love, he's an Oklahoman, he's from Salisaw, pulling for him hard. His job security got better here in the last month, thanks to the Sooners and the Longhorns.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point. Yeah, I like Matt Wells too. Lance Leipold, I really loved. I talked to him for about an hour, and at Kansas. I don't know if they'll win three games, but I don't know. It's just go ahead, Sid.
Kirk will talk to anybody for an hour if he could get the cell phone number. I try to talk him out of writing about Lance Leipold. People in Austin don't care about Lance Leipold. People in Kansas don't care about Lance Leipold. So why should we be writing about it?
He's a nice guy, and he's big in Buffalo. I'll put it that way.
Wow, yeah. Well, man, Barry, it's been a pleasure as usual. We're gonna chop it up again before that second Saturday in October. Hopefully both teams will be ranked. We know one of them will be. We hope that the other one will be. But we appreciate you joining us, man. And Kirk's going to work on that number one ranking. We'll see if the Sooners are still number one in our hearts by the time we meet. Thanks for joining us, bro.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thank you, Barry. Bye-bye.
On Second Thought.
Duck, Barry Trammell, bringing it as usual. He's not as excited about the Sooners as you are, sir. He's not.
Well, and you put it right. I mean, the team out of town is always better than the team that you see. And it's because we see all the warts, you know. And when you're from afar, they're kind of names and, you know, you're not going to practice and stuff. And plus, they won six in a row. So I guess I would throw that out as a caveat. Like, yeah, why would I pick Oklahoma? Why wouldn't I to make a deep run when they're good every year, even if they start the year 0-2 in the Big 12?
Well, unlike the Oklahoma Sooners, the Texas Longhorns have question marks at quarterback. You got Barry Trammell going, well, we don't know if Spencer Rattler's a superstar or not. We know he's good. We know that already. Texas has no idea what they have because these guys have only been in front of the live bullets a couple of times. So I didn't think that Sark was too happy with what he saw in the scrimmage from one Casey Thompson and one Hudson Carr. Did you get that sense after we spoke with him, Doug?
Oh, absolutely, Cedric. I mean, he said they did not play acceptable football according to our standard. And he said, I think they would say the same thing. So that makes me a little nervous. And I think Longhorn fans a little nervous when you got one more scrimmage left. You know, the third one's a dress rehearsal, as we all know. And when we talked to him Saturday after the first scrimmage, and then again, this week, before the Wednesday night practice, it's like he said they look better. He said the last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, were their best 2 days at camp. And hopefully he means it, and he was speaking the truth. But it's getting close, Sid.
Here's a little bit more of what he said about these quarterbacks.
The reality of it is, I'm probably harder on that position than any other position on the field from a coaching perspective. And so, you know, we demand a lot of them. And we're not going to settle. And so the point of that is, you know, we're going to keep pushing them and to be the best that they can be so that we can be the best that we can be. And so, I have to find that right threshold with them to know kind of where their ceiling is right now. And the only way you can find that out is by putting them in those scenarios to get a level of understanding of where they're at. Because the worst thing I would want is to go all training camp long with training wheels on those two guys. And then come the first game and I'm taking the training wheels off and I don't know that they can't ride a bike yet. So we take the training wheels off early. We force them to learn to ride a bike. And like a parent teaching your kid to ride a bike, at some point you got to let go of the seat and they might fall. But that's okay. We got to get them back up. We got to get them back on the bike and we got to let them learn to ride again. And, you know, once they learn to ride, then they'll start pedaling faster and all those types of things. But you can't leave the training wheels on and then expect them to miraculously know how to ride a bike. You've got to push the envelope. And that's what we're doing with them right now.
So, Doug, I don't think that he is nervous about what's coming up, this decision. I don't think that he wants to go into the opening week preparing for ooh la la and going, man, which one do I pick? So I think it's coming down to brass tacks here right now as of Thursday. I think by Monday, you know, don't you think by you know, a week from Monday, before then, like this coming week, by Friday, I think he needs to go ahead and pull the trigger, even if he doesn't tell us.
You're talking about not this Friday, but a week from Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he won't go into game week not knowing, because, you know, you got to put in your offense and your game plan and everything like that. So I really think Saturday's scrimmage will probably be a winner take all. You know, he has not said there's been any separation, even though Hudson Card took, you know, a lot of the first team reps on Tuesday and with the media watching. So he knows that's out there. And we talked last week that when we had a chance to interview both quarterbacks, how Casey Thompson came across as a guy thinking this is his team. You know, his rhetoric, his body language, his confidence, everything he said, the extra meeting time with the receivers, everything spoke to all the media, I think, that we know and talk to, said Casey acted like it was his team. And we didn't get that same feeling from Hudson. Not that that means anything. I'm just thinking that's what Casey, you know, the feeling that he gave out. But who knows how the coaching staffs feel.
And, Duck, that's the thing about Casey. I mean, I'm not trying to pour any gas on this fire, but I remember a time when we talked to a quarterback who had a big game and he carried himself like a quarterback. He was athletic. He was good with the media. He had that air about him where this is a franchise type guy for college. And the kid's name was Gerard Hurd. And he just turned out not to be that guy. And so I think that Casey, when I compare them, I do believe that Casey's a little bit more into the position, into the studying, into the mental part that goes along with it, whereas Juice may have been more about just like Vince was, just being the best athlete on the field and letting the chips fall where they may. At the end of the day, after talking to both of those guys, Hudson seemed younger and less experienced. But if Hudson's a better thrower of the football and a better decision maker, and I've heard from my people that at this one of these last practices, Casey struggled. So I believe the better thrower of the ball is going to be the quarterback, even if it's Hudson Card and he's not as good in some other areas.
Well, it's interesting. I had a friend of mine that was at A&M, and he asked Jimbo Fisher about his quarterbacks, Haynes King and Zach Calzada, in their battle for the starting quarterback. And my friend asked Jimbo Fisher, so what do you want more? You mentioned two of the biggest things to decide a quarterback race are decision-making and accuracy.
Those are the two biggest.
And my friend asked Jimbo, which is the most important? And you know what his answer was? Both.
I knew it.
Coaches want it all. And it's hard to say. And I know we've talked all summer and into fall camp about turnovers are huge, and coaches want to avoid turnovers at all costs. And we go back to the pick six the Casey threw in the spring game, the first scrimmage. I specifically asked, you know, Sark, any turnovers? He said, yeah, Casey had one. Hudson didn't have any. So just from recent game-like action, if Casey's had two turnovers and Hudson had none, and Hudson has the stronger arm, as you just said, and we both agree, and he's got 4 years of eligibility left. So, you know, maybe that tips the scales in Hudson's favor, you know, versus 3 years of experience on campus.
And, you know, and it's also should be mentioned, they have Bijan Robinson. We're not asking Hudson Card to be Colt McCoy or Sammy or VY. They're asking him to be a guy who takes care of the ball. I hate the game manager role, but when you have a Heisman Trophy type running back and a pretty experienced offensive line, you're not going to, there's going to come a time when you're going to be asked to do some great things to get them over the hump. But for the most part, it's going to be Bijan's show. And I think the dynamic has changed a bit with Texas, because this has always been Sammy's show, and Sammy no longer lives here. And so what you're asking yourself, if you're Sarkisian, am I going to turn it over to a guy who has been turning it over, who's been making some mistakes, but is the more experienced guy and is the more electric guy with his legs? Or am I going to give it to this kid who's got 4 years of eligibility remaining and also a bigger upside with his arm?
Yeah, it's just hard to know what exactly, because we're not in the meeting rooms. We're not, you know, we have short 20, 30 minute windows in the practice. So, and one another question I asked Sark this week was, are the teammates seem to be responding more to one player or the other? And he didn't really give a definitive answer on that.
I'm surprised you asked that question, because he was never going to give you the truth, whatever it is, because there is truth there.
The way he answers may be a little bit telling. I mean, you know, because I think that's a huge thing. We talk about decision-making, arm strength, accuracy, avoiding turnovers, but, you know, a lot of times your teammates will tell you who the starting quarterback should be. They know. I guarantee you, they probably already know. If we polled, if there are 85 scholarship players and we talked to 83 of them, non-card, Nod Thompson, they would probably know. You know, that doesn't mean they're 100% correct, but they probably know who they think is. And you mentioned Jerod Hurd. Part of the reason Jerod Hurd wasn't the savior and wasn't the franchise was, they kind of took the job away from him, maybe even prematurely. You and I both loved this guy. He had charisma. He had all the intangibles. He was electric. What an athlete.
I think they tried to make him a quarterback.
Yeah, and it's kind of like they wanted Vince to be a quarterback. And finally, Greg Davis said, let Vince be Vince. And all he did
Didn't think they let Juice be Juice. I think all of a sudden – people were not blitzing him and just begging him to throw the football.
Right.
And Texas kind of fell into that trap and didn't let him run. I mean, he set everything up with his legs, and I really thought he could have been something special if they'd allowed him to develop.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they pulled the string on him a little too early. And then one other thing, I don't really think Sark is looking for a game manager. You know, he's been at Alabama where he's seen, you know, Tua and Jalen Hurts and Mac Jones. So he's looking at first round draft picks and people like that. So I don't think he's going to be content with a game manager very long, you know, maybe the first month of the season or something. He's going to want a quarterback who can make plays. And I would imagine he knows who that is, you know, sooner than later.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. Texas OU, who's the starting quarterback?
Oh, Texas OU.
Besides Spencer Rattler, who's starting for the team from Texas?
I don't know. Judging what we heard from Sark a day ago, it sounded like Hudson Card is the number one guy. And I'm not sure if Hudson Card gets it, he's going to give it away. And I think the other thing, too, I think if Casey Thompson is not given the starting job, I don't know if he might look to transfer either, because he may have 3 years left with the COVID year, even though he's a junior. You know, and if they give the job to Hudson Card as a redshirt freshman, he may think, okay, time's running out for me. I better get somewhere where I can play a year or two.
And that portal is that portal, man. That portal gives you a chance. Someone wants you out of the portal. And you know, the ones that make me laugh are the backup defensive linemen. I'm out of here. And then they come groveling back. Yeah,
Smith. I'm sorry, Jake Smith left. I thought, you know, he had 9 touchdowns in 2 years. I think that was more than Jordan Shipley. I thought he was a player. I hated to see him go to USC.
So it's going to be interesting as we roll toward the season opener in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to it. We're going to be all over it, of course. Got to thank Barry Trammell for joining us for episode 230. That's going to do it for us. For the Duck, Kirk Bowles, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.